Even the person who is determined to put local food on the table at mealtime may be hard-pressed to fill out a meal in the dead of winter. But farmers and their supporters remind us there are local farm products available through the winter months. And we have a farmer and a supporter sitting right here to remind us of all that. Wendy Saporn is the executive director of Thrive, the Rogue Initiative for a Vital Economy. Wendy, welcome back.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good to have you here. And Sebastian Aguilar runs Chickadee Farm and Talent and is our guest on the exchange as well. Welcome, Sebastian.
Thank you. Good morning.
So let's get back to what Thrive does and explain to people what your efforts are about expanding connections that people have with local food, local farmers.
Sure. Well, Thrive's mission goes beyond food, but it's really focused on increasing the sustainability of the local economy by helping people find locally owned businesses and keeping more dollars in our economy. And most of our work in that area has been around food since 2004. Next year, we'll publish our 10th annual Rogue Flavor Guide, and that's really a core focus of our programs, helping people find the farmers markets and farms and other food businesses in the Rogue Valley.
Was the intention to be food-focused at the beginning, or did it just sort of turn out that way because that's where the greatest growth was in local efforts?
Well, I specifically chose to focus first on local food as one of the core building blocks of a local living economy because it's part of our daily life, and there's so many great reasons to buy local food, whether it's the economic reasons or the health reasons or the community reasons.
Sebastian, tell us about Chickadee Farm, how long you've been there and what you make there.
Well, Chickadee is new to the Rogue Valley. My wife and I have been farming for a long time, but mostly in New Mexico and Washington. So we moved here a year ago. This is our first season. We found a great piece of land in Talent, and we grew 4 acres of vegetable and vegetable seed. And right now we're offering a winter CSA. So every week we deliver 8 different vegetables to our local customers, and we'll do that to the end of January.
And that's when things pretty much run out?
That's all we wanted to commit to at this point. Winter gardening is definitely a little more challenging than summer gardening. weeks like this week, getting down to 8 and 10 degrees, you know, really puts a stress on the crops. So
it's been that cold out there in the fields?
Yeah, it was 10 this morning.
Wow. Okay, yeah. That's even colder than it was at my house. Wendy, for the folks who don't know CSAs, community-supported agriculture, what are they and how do they work?
Sure. Well, community-supported agriculture works by community members, families buying a share of a farm. And so they are joining with that farmer early on and taking the risks and the commitment to grow those crops over the season. And for that early financial commitment, they get usually a weekly box of produce delivered either to their home or to a convenient area. And the winter CSA is a little bit different. Some of the farms offer a box every 2 weeks, so a little bit different schedule. But what it offers families is really a chance to not have to shop, not have to go and make those choices, and also really surrender to the season and eat with the seasons what's available here in the valley.
Instead of looking for stuff that might have been flown in from some other place that's not in season here.
That's right.
And when you talk about buying a share of a farm, how big a share? I mean, what's the general range and what somebody's going to pay to get into a CSA?
Well, the winter CSA is a little bit more standard, but increasingly in the summertime, you'll see a lot more options. Sometimes I'll hear from people that had tried CSA in the past, and it was just too much food for them. And right now, we have our farms offering really convenient different types, you know, small shares, mini shares, senior shares, every other delivery. So farms are really trying to make it fit for each household.
And so did you have CSAs set up through the season, Sebastian, at Chickadee Farm?
We just did a winter one this year. I've been doing CSAs for, I don't know, maybe 10 years on my previous farms. And size is an issue because, you know, everybody's different. Everybody cooks different. Everyone has a different size family. So, yeah, in the past, usually we offer a large and a small. And what we're offering right now is a relatively small share. We charged $300 for it.
Then that's just for winter season, you say?
And that's just for the winter season. That's 12 weeks long.
We're talking about winter CSAs, buying local food in the winter with Sebastian Aguilar at Chickadee Farm and Talent and Wendy Saporn, the executive director at Thrive, the Rogue Initiative for a Vital Economy. You may have comments or questions. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760. That's anywhere in our listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Curious about yields. I mean, on 4 acres, I mean, how many pounds of products can you put out?
Well, quite a bit, actually. You know, and pounds is a...
Whatever measurement you use.
It's a tricky measurement because when you're so diversified, you know, you grow bunches of kale and you grow pounds of carrots and, you know, but...
We're talking to the folks at the Food Project next week, and they measure everything by pounds. And that's stuck in my head at the moment.
So. Sure. Yeah, so a pound of lettuce and a pound of potatoes, you know, are worth two different things. But, yeah, I think, you know, I've been able to make a full-time living growing 3 to 4 acres intensively of crops. You know, right now, my wife and I grow a lot of vegetable seed. We sell the seed companies, and that's probably our main product. But yeah, we've, you know, on 3 acres, we've done over 100 CSA members. And yeah, there's a lot of food, you know, there's a lot of different production styles of farming, and we do a relatively intensive one. So yeah, potential is great.
What are the differences you find between farming in Oregon versus farming in Washington and New Mexico?
Well, we're pretty similar to New Mexico, which is my home state, and one reason why I came here, wasn't ready to go back to New Mexico, but I missed that higher elevation and kind of sunny, arid climate. I was in Puget Sound, so it was much colder, much wetter.
Sunny and arid there, yeah.
So it's good to grow peppers again.
And so peppers are one of the things. What are some of the other? You mentioned kale and potatoes. Are those all parts of your operation too?
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, certain crops, I mean, through the winter months, you know, we're mostly focused on cold hardy greens and root crops. You know, we've got some onions and winter squash stored from the summer. So, yeah, there's, you know, the whole seasonality of what's available. In the summer, you know, we grew a lot of tomatoes and sold those to local grocers. Of course, you know, tomato season is over.
All right, I understand that the question comes from somebody who can kill grass. I'm not really good at growing anything. But when you talk about cold, hardy greens, what kinds of things are you talking about? Are you talking about actually working the farm in the cold months?
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, it's too cold and wet to till or plant or anything. So basically when you're talking about a winter garden, you have to grow everything in the summer. Basically come July, we do a big planting, and all of that is ready right around the middle of October, end of October. And at that point, things pretty much stop growing once the temperatures are down, once the days are shorter. And so you're basically stocking up the field with a bunch of food that you can just harvest gradually through the winter. And things will continue to grow a little bit. But, yeah, some of the greens we have right now are cabbage, escarole, Swiss chard, kale. There's some Asian greens that we have out there. Spinach is really a great winter crop. Collards. There's a whole slew of things.
Now, I know Thrive has been pretty helpful over the years in letting people know how to make use of the things that are grown locally. Are there cookbooks? Are there recipes? Are there things on the website, things that people can use to make sure that they, if they're in the CSA and get this stuff, they don't go, how do I prepare this?
Most definitely. All the CSAs usually do a weekly newsletter with recipes and suggestions as part of the box. But Thrive is actually finishing a project. We're going to have be publishing a vegetable almanac that will really help people understand what to do with some of the products that they might be less familiar with. And we're also really excited to be working with Access to be doing a new cooking skills demo and classes and be out in the community helping people understand how to work with whole foods.
Have the tastes changed over the years? I mean, are people asking for things? And for that matter, do they heavily influence what will be grown in a CSA? I mean, are they making their requests when they buy in with their shares to say, hey, I'd like to see you have some of this and some of this, and that's reflected in what the output of the farm is?
When I've joined CSAs, I've gotten a survey at the end of the season, too. So I think they're always interested in getting that feedback as to what to grow for the next season, for sure.
And how extensive is the winter CSA operation in the Rogue Valley? I mean, of all the farms, it sounds like you don't have very many that are actually doing winter CSAs in addition to Sebastian at Chickadee.
It's really growing. Right now we have five vegetable farms and one ranch that are offering winter CSA options. So wherever you are in Jackson, Josephine counties, there's an option for you. So Wolf Gulch Farm, Barking Moon Farm, two out in the Weimar area, Willow Witt Ranch as well.
And so, Sebastian, how much chance have you had to meet people who are part of the CSA? I mean, are they pretty much invisible to you most of the time, or are they... do they come and actually make some face-to-face contact when they're busy getting into the CSA in the first place?
Well, we've met everybody who is part of our CSA at this point. I wish I had more contact with them. In the summer CSA format, we've usually done it more of a farmer's market style where we set up a stand and people come and they, you know, pick their bunches and put them into their own bag, and we usually host that and get to meet them. This winter, it didn't work out to do that format, and so basically we're creating a box and leaving it for people to pick up. But I do miss that connection, and we'll be exploring on how to recreate that, because in the past, with many of our CSAs, that personal relationship with the customer has really strengthened the farm and been a positive, I think, for the customer and for us. We've also in the past done a work trade CSA where, you know, we had 20 or 30 folks of the community who would come out and work on the farm in partial exchange for their food. And people love that, you know, getting their hands dirty and learning about what happens on a farm and how they work, and really built a sense of community that supported everybody, the customers and us.
What kinds of tasks will they do in those situations?
Oh, you know, it all depended the season, but mostly I would have them help harvest. They would come twice a week for 4 hours, and I would break everybody up into groups, and we would harvest everything, and they would help harvest what was going to go into their boxes, but they would also help harvest what I was, you know, harvesting and selling to grocery stores and other markets.
We're talking about buying local food in the winter with Sebastian Aguilar from Chickadee Farm and Talent and Wendy Sipporin, the executive director at Thrive, the Rogue Initiative for a Vital Economy. You can join this discussion at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So is this a first effort at winter CSAs, Wendy, through Thrive, or has it been going on all the time?
No, we've had a history of winter CSAs going back 10 years probably. What I'm seeing now is just a lot more options being available for people. In addition, some of the farmers markets are staying open later in the season here in Jackson County. The markets were open through Thanksgiving. And then in Josephine County, there's two markets, the Fairgrounds markets on Thursday and the Saturday market that moved indoors. So they'll both be going on through Christmas. And in addition, our online market will be open until December 13th. And we have Rogue Produce, which is sort of a hybrid market and CSA model, and they'll be open all year round.
Now, you mentioned the online market. I understand the online farmers market is closing down. Is that right?
We will be closing this month after 3.5 years.
What's going on there?
Well, the market was supported through grant funding, and that's run out at this point. And with the increase in the number of markets, the Jacksonville Sunday market and the Medford Saturday market and new retail stores like the Medford Food Co-op open, there's a lot more options for people to buy local food. And so we didn't have the volume to sustain that without the grant funding.
All right. So people are still buying lots of local food, it sounds like. I mean, do we have demonstrable numbers showing the growth there?
Well, actually, we don't have those numbers, but thanks to a grant funding from Meyer Memorial Trust, actually SOU, will be doing some research to really analyze how much food is being grown and consumed in the Rogue Valley.
Okay, when does that get started?
It's starting right now. We'd love to talk to you about it.
Yeah, okay. Well, so it's just getting going, but it'll be an examination of how much local food is consumed here?
Well, we're going to be surveying farmers and really analyzing what they're growing and what channels they're selling that food through.
All right. And was it difficult at all to get set up at Chickadee Farm to do what you're doing with your CSA, your winter CSA in particular?
Oh, I mean, setting up a farm is always a big endeavor, but I've done it enough times where I knew what I was doing this time. So, you know, it wasn't any particular challenge. It's talent's great, class one soils, good water.
But it really takes a variety of skills, doesn't it? I mean, you have to have some stamina to be able to work the hours of a farmer, some knowledge of how things grow. You have to be able to be halfway decent at marketing and customer service. So it's not like you could just be good at one or the other. You have to be reasonably good at all of them, don't you?
That's true, yeah. Being a farmer is definitely being a jack of all trades, you know, from construction to marketing to, yeah, crop scientist. But, yeah, my wife and I have been doing this for 16 years, and so we felt pretty confident in what we were able to do, and we had a great season. But, yeah, farming is a challenging business to get into, you know, primarily just because it's so capital-intensive at the beginning. Tractors, irrigation systems, greenhouses, it all takes a lot of money, and land is not cheap either, so...
No, and as has been pointed out to me, you really don't know what the production run is going to be like until the season's over.
That's true. There are a lot of variables.
So, Wendy, for people who've never gotten involved in a CSA winter or summer before, what are some good first steps?
Well, they can go to our website and see the list of winter CSAs that are available by localrogue.org. And I would say, you know, the first step in choosing a CSA is really where do you live and who has drop sites in that area. So that's a great thing. And then just pick up the phone and call them and ask them what type of products they're going to be offering and talk about what size would be great for their family.
Are there slots available if you're after the beginning of a particular period of time? If you're
Yeah, most of the winter CSAs have gotten started this week or last week. And everyone I talk to still has some slots available. So there's one or two available slots in most of the CSAs. So.
Okay, buylocalrogue.org. Wendy Sipporn is the executive director at Thrive, the Rogue Initiative for a Vital Economy. Sebastian Aguilar is the proprietor of Chickadee Farm in Talent. Thanks so much for joining us, both of you.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
That'll do it for this hour. In hour two, we'll talk about the uncontacted people. We'll